It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
It is the Homer Hour with no Homer. I'm Kyle Wallace in for Homer here on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. You can always call in to the Carbo's Talking Text line at 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-3776 to chime in on today's conversation. And if you listen to Kyle and Bruss, you know that we are going to hear from Homer today. But before we hear from Homer today, I did have something that I was pondering because I'm a nail biter. I don't know about you, C-Cat, who's holding it down behind the glass. I'm a nail biter, but with the whole wedding thing that I had, I just got married. Cool. Shout out to me. Shout out to my baby girl with the nice ring she got me from Paul's Jewelers. But something I did before the wedding is I did a little self-care. I got my nails done, right? So I said, you know what? I'm going to get my feet done. I'm going to get my nails done because I'm going to be taking photos, and I deserve to have some type of self-care. And so when I went to the little nail salon and, you know, they did my nails up, she did a very decent, good job. And it got to the point where she was like, all right, well, you want to put the little coat on at the end? And I told her, yeah, you can put the little coat on, but I don't want it to be too glossy because I don't like all that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want it to be too glossy for my wedding. And so she put one coat on and then she put on another coat and I was glossing. I was glossing for the last weekend, so now I'm concerned that my wedding photos is going to have nail polish gloss on it. Yeah.
You just showed the camera.
It's kind of coming off. I felt uncomfortable. I got back to biting my nails now. It's been a while, but it was too glossy for me.
Does it have, like, the alcohol that prevents you from biting your nails because it tastes bad?
No, it did not. But I did not bite my nails literally for, like, the last week and a half. Now I'm back to biting them. They were getting too long. They were getting entirely too long.
You got, like, rubs like, sandpaper on them. They rub the sheen off and get back to, I don't know, calloused hands that are not pretty.
I'm sure I could, but I've been kind of, like, ripping off the little gloss part, but... Thought I should share. I don't know if it's not manly.
You didn't get like fake nails, right?
Oh, hell no.
These are shined. I'm just asking. I don't want people to make their assumptions.
No, I mean.
Because like if you're picking at your nails, sometimes women will like pick off a nail that's put on top.
Well, I don't have fake nails.
Just asking.
To each their own. To each their own. Absolutely to each their own. If you want to do that, if you want to get your nails did like that, you can. But I've been looking at my fingernails and I've been thinking about how I got this gloss on my nail for the last 2 weeks that I absolutely despise. And I'm thinking, those pictures are forever going to have me with glossy fingernails on my wedding day photos. And I don't know if I like that.
So getting your nails done in any fashion, you picked it and you wanted it shiny, but it went a little bit too shiny.
Too shiny.
Do you look at Caleb Williams at all a little bit differently? Now you're walking in his shoes?
No, Caleb, he decides that he wants his nails more than shiny. He wants them all different colors and different things. But to each their own, I don't care if another man decides to do his nails like that. If Caleb wants to get his nails did like that, then to power to him, especially with the way that he ended our season. I can't talk about the man's nails because them ugly painted nails also ended my season. But I know one thing is I know y'all, you know, you're missing Homer today. So I want to hit y'all with one of his greatest hits today. So what I want to do is before we hit you with one of Homer's greatest hits, I want to take y'all back to something that Giannis said earlier this week when he sat down with Jim Paschke. He talked about his farewell speech. It got released on Monday on Giannis' YouTube page where he talked about the city of Milwaukee and his passion and his love and his love for the city of Milwaukee. But we're going to hear a little bit of that audio, but then you're going to hear reaction from Homer because I'm going to give you guys right now one of Homer's greatest hits. Hit it, C-Cat.
Will never, ever change. No matter where I am, Milwaukee will always be my city, my team, my family.
That was Giannis.
That's how he ended his 2-minute farewell and I love you message to Milwaukee.
My city, my team, my family. He said Milwaukee will be my city, my team, my family. Fair enough to me. I said, oh, okay, look at that. I love you too, Giannis. But then all of a sudden, I'm sitting here minding my business. And, you know, a lot of us have these group chats. And I got an Instagram group chat with my frat brothers. And so I'm minding my business. And then, you know, I work all day, so I don't get a chance to check. So last night I get home and I go to my phone and I go inside of my group chat. And, you know, they send literally just a whole bunch of chats, just a whole bunch. And so I'm scrolling through and I see something that says ESPN Milwaukee. Now, you know, your boy, I work at ESPN Milwaukee. So sometimes they'll send me clips of things that I say and they let me know whether they like it or they dislike it.
They're holding you responsible
brand. Yeah, it's great. It is. It's cool. But so here's the thing to all the folks listening to the Homer Hour here on ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I look at it and I see this white man and I see Giannis. I say, oh, that's not me. That's Homer. That's Homer. And when I look at it, I see this is verbatim what I was told yesterday at 3:35 p.m. Remember, I didn't see this last after 6 yesterday. It said, Kyle, tell Homer to shut his ass up. I said, oh, wow, that's crazy. That's wild. And I laughed at it. And I keep scrolling down and I see somebody else send the same video. Kyle, get your man. Tell him to STF. You already know how that ends. Giannis said this and he ain't lying. And then somebody said, hey, I already said that. He said, well, you know what? Make it double. And then the guy proceeded to say, tell Homer to meet me on Bell Phillips. I got 5 minutes for him. And I said, whoa. I said, what in the hell did Homer say? And I need y'all to be able to hear what Homer said that is setting literally people on social media afire with what Homer had to say about Giannis simply saying that Milwaukee will always be his team, Milwaukee will always be his city, and Milwaukee will always be his family. Go ahead and turn up your radio speakers or the ESPN Wisconsin app or on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. This is what Homer said that has set off a firestorm on social media.
It's crap! Whoa. If you felt that special about this place, you would not leave. I'm not asking you to feel special, but don't tell me this. On the day you leave, I gotta buy this crap?
I think he's leaving on as good as a gesture as he can, right? Without burning the fan base and making it feel like, I'm done with you guys. I don't want to be a part of this thing anymore. Like, obviously, he requested the trade, and he's out of here. Like, I get all that. It's like he's saying thank you to the city, to the fans, to the ownership for taking a chance on him as a player and allowing him to grow and allowing him to essentially become what he is.
And he won't take a chance on the team or the city. He wants a better chance to win a title. This city and team got you a title.
That is crazy. Listen, I know this is a Homer Hour, and I love me some Home Slice. He's a legend. He's a legend. But Homer, you are absolutely wrong. What do you mean he didn't take a chance on this city? He took a chance on the city. He signed with the Milwaukee Bucks multiple times to stay in the city of Milwaukee, to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks. Matter of fact, Giannis wanted to leave the Milwaukee Bucks after last season because he understood the writing on the wall. He looked at Doc Rivers as his coach. He looked at the talent on this roster, and he questioned whether or not we had enough for him to continue to win again. And the Bucks as an organization came to Giannis and said, listen, we're going to do everything we can to try to keep you in Milwaukee. And Giannis said, you know what? Fine. I'll play the first 20 to 25 games. We see how things go. And then maybe you can trade me. But Giannis did not jump ship. He did not abandon Milwaukee. And to sit here and try to ignore all the greatness that he had by simply him saying he wanted to go somewhere else to play somewhere else to compete for a championship, that doesn't negate all the great stuff that he said. And it doesn't mean that Milwaukee isn't his city. It doesn't mean that his family, he doesn't feel like Milwaukee is his family. You can say that. You can feel that way. Giannis should feel that way. What he brought to this city, we should never forget, and we should always embrace him. So sitting here and chastising Giannis and attacking Giannis for simply saying this is his city, damn it, it is. The 414 is his city. This is literally his adopted home in the United States. This is the place where he became a man. He became a father. He became an all-star. When he says that Milwaukee Bucks is his team, yes. You know what team? You know what, CK? You know what happens when people retire? Sometimes when people retire, they, like Kyle Lowry. What did Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors, who won an NBA title, who just retired, what did he just do?
Signed a one-day contract.
He signed a one-day contract. Did he sign a one-day contract with the Miami Heat?
No.
Did he sign a one-day contract with the Philadelphia 76ers?
Nope.
He signed a one-day contract with the team that he always had in his heart, which is the Toronto Raptors. Because that is his team. And when Giannis retires, he's not going to be going back to Miami for a retirement party. Giannis is going to be right here in the city of Milwaukee celebrating his retirement. He may sign a one-day contract here as well. But you know what else will happen? It's because this is his city, this is his team. Giannis will also have his jersey hanging in the rafters. And guess what? I don't know. What is it? 2026. Giannis is 32 years old or something like that. So we'll give Giannis 8 more seasons. That's being nice. So we'll say, you know, by 2040, there's going to be something called the Hall of Fame. And Giannis is going to get a call to enter into the Hall of Fame. And guess what jersey Giannis is going to have and what team is going to be represented when he goes into the NBA Hall of Fame? Can you take one guess?
Got to be Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee Bucks. So when Giannis says to Jim Paske in his interview on YouTube, and he says that this is my city, this is my team, this is my family, he's not saying that this forever, like, oh, this team in the 2026-2027 season, this is his team. No. He's saying that this organization, this franchise, the people that make Milwaukee great, he will always have a special place in his heart for them. This city will always be his. The Milwaukee Bucks will always be an organization that he will feel a part of despite him not competing for the Bucks next year. This team, this place will always be his family. That is what he is saying. I think Homer is just sitting there and unfortunately looking at the situation of you abandoned and you left the Bucks, so this can't be your city. That's not correct. He left this team because it can't win him a championship, but it does not mean that he still isn't gold to this organization. It does not mean that he still isn't connected to this organization. Giannis forever will be connected to the Milwaukee Bucks forever. Me and C-Cat and Homer, everybody, a lot of y'all listen, we may not be here in 2036 or what it would be. Yeah, no, help me. 2126, excuse me. We may not be here in 2126. But you know what people will still be talking about if this earth is still spinning? They'll be talking about that 2021 championship that this great mythical player in Giannis that you have film on and how dominant he was when he scored 50 points in game 6 of the NBA Finals. So yes, Giannis has every right to say this is his team. He has every right to say this is his city. He has every right to say this is his family, this city, this team. Milwaukee is his family. Because Giannis brought us an NBA title in 2021. Giannis was the NBA Finals MVP in 2021. Giannis was the most valuable player in 2019 and 2020. Giannis was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 2020. Giannis was the most improved player in the NBA in 2017. Giannis was a 10-time All-Star. Giannis is an absolute legend, top 75 player of all time. So Giannis, yes, this is his home, and y'all better embrace it. People talking about paint over his mural. You crazy? That's not how you treat a legend. That's not how you treat somebody that literally made this city better and greater. You give him his flowers now, you give him his flowers later, and you give him his flowers forever. So Homer, I know this is the Homer Hour, and I had to play your greatest hits. Because you're wrong on that one. But this is the Homer. I'm Kyle Walls. I'm in for Homer, who's on assignment today. When we come back on the other side, I'll be joined by Packers reporter and host, co-host of Wildy and Tausch, Jason Wildy. He'll join us next. We'll talk Packers, and we'll probably sprinkle a little of this Giannis talking in there next.
It's time for Jason Wildy on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
It is the Homer Hour here on ESPN Milwaukee. I'm Kyle Wallace, who's your cousin sub of the day for Homer as he's out on assignment. I'm so excited to be joined by Packers reporter and also host of Wildy and Tausch. 10-year anniversary they're celebrating, 9 to noon every day here on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Wisconsin. How you doing, Jason? Been a while.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm pleasantly surprised. I was on your show earlier today, and now here I am with you, and I was on a call. No, it wasn't today. It was yesterday. And then I was on a call. I'm very confused right now, but I'm happy to be with you.
You know what's crazy about this, Jason, is that I feel like a lot of people are thrown off this week because this is like a five-day work week, and you join Kyle and Brust on Monday. Today's Wednesday.
Correct. Yeah, it is today. It is Wednesday now.
Yeah, I thought today, because I didn't come to work on Monday. I was off still on my honeymoon, and I thought today was Tuesday up until somebody said it was Wednesday. I said, oh, wow, it is Wednesday. And yes, I did see you earlier today on the call. It was good to see you, Jason. It's been a while. And I was on social media. And before we go, got married. Any tips now that I'm a married man? You're a happy husband. Any tips as a married man that you have for me?
Communication. It's all about communication. Sometimes Paul is not great at that. And that's one of the few things that I don't want to say I get after her about, but I have to occasionally remind her, hey, you got to. We got to communicate. We got to be on the same page. There's a lot of moving pieces at our house, and fewer moving pieces for you at the moment. We'll yes. see
only
how that
pieces.
Changes.
Yeah, yeah. Lord willing, it changes.
Yeah. So, I communication is my tip of the day.
I love that communication. Now, Jason, I saw a clip of yours on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison's Instagram page, and you were strongly telling fans that they can't live in the past when it comes to Packers playoff losses, specifically talking about the criticism of Matt LaFleur. You spoke with a lot of conviction. What triggered you in that moment?
Well, I think it's that there's a portion of the fan base that obviously is very critical of him, and I'm not saying that they don't have a right to be critical of him. They should be critical. There have been some failures by this team in some pretty big moments. But I get the sense that, you know, people want Matt LaFleur to feel as bad about the loss to the Bears as they do, and I still get this when I will bring up the 2014 NFC Championship game. I'll have fans will say, oh, too soon! Too soon. 11 plus years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
But I think, you know, what I don't think people fully understand is that it's these guys' job. And obviously, you know, you've played. You obviously have a family member who is in the NFL. It's their job to compartmentalize. It's their job to move on. There's nothing they can do about what happened in Chicago on January 10th anymore. Now they can take lessons from it, and they can change their emphasis, and Matt LaFleur can focus his offense on being more like the offense it was in year one when he arrived in Green Bay and all those things. But, you know, if you want him wandering the streets of Green Bay muttering to himself, I can't believe we blew a 21-3 halftime lead. I can't believe we gave up 25 fourth quarter points. I can't believe our kicker missed 7 points worth of kicks. You know, that's not his, it's not his job to live in the past. It's his job, as my buddy Will Summers knows from listening to our show this morning, it's his job to fix things for the future. And I think that's what he's been doing. And I'm not saying he's above criticism in any way, but it feels like, you know, I was scrolling through our YouTube comments during our show. It just feels like there's a segment of the fan base that just thinks he's not a very good coach and wants somebody else.
And so I
get it. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, but I just think people need to understand how much he does care about it. And as upset as you are about the way that game went 6 months ago, he's just as upset. He just is channeling that into doing something about it for this season as opposed to reliving the disappointment of that game.
Yeah, I feel, Jason, that Packers fans, you know, I'm one of them. I feel like sometimes we're just so spoiled that we just simply think replacing a head coach means that the next coach is going to get better. And I think a lot of people don't remember what it was like with Ray Rose, who I believe that team just went 8-8 with Ray Rose. And then Mike Sherman came in. They eventually, you know, they got better, turned things around, and they had some struggles, and he ended up going. It's not that easy just to hire a coach. I feel like this fan base, as a Packers fan, we're just too spoiled with success.
Yeah, and look, I finished a piece for Madison Magazine, and I'd had a long conversation with Matt last week, and I did use the line that, you know, that there's a frustration among members of the passionate and some might say entitled fan base, because I do think that. I mean, I think people you know, look at Jordan Love through that lens. And I think Jordan Love's a good quarterback. You and I and Brust have talked about this a million times. But I think it's a really important year for him to elevate, to be more than just a good quarterback. And if they're going to get to the places they want to go, not only does he need to elevate his game, but a bunch of other dudes on that roster have to elevate their games too. And if they do that, you know, I think they got a shot to do something pretty special.
Now, speaking about doing something special, Jason, is that when you look at this defense and you look at this team, who will be a key part of this Packers defense outside of Micah Parsons in order for them to be successful? Because it is, we don't know how many games Micah is going to miss. We know for sure four, right? We all feel pretty confident with four. It could be all the way up to eight games. We're not sure. But who on this defense outside of Micah Parsons needs to be successful and needs to step up in order for this defense to truly thrive?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that I'm looking at as guys that really need to, that are good players now, that can be really, really good players. And I look at a guy like Evan Williams, who I thought actually had a breakthrough season last season. So I think he's already kind of entered that group, but I think he can still do even more. I think the two guys that I'm looking at on defense most closely are Edgerrin Cooper, who was obviously the normal host of this show, couldn't talk enough about how he won the Defensive Player of the Week award.
Cooper! That's what he did, right?
Not just rookie Defensive Player of the Week, but the Defensive Player of the Week.
Two
rookie
times.
Had nothing to do with it. And he did it twice. And then, you know, last year I just don't, and he acknowledged this when I talked to him at the end of the minicamp, like he didn't reach the point of your expectations of elevating from there. Now he's going to be in a new system. He's got a new running mate. It'll be interesting to see to what level he can elevate his game now. And if he does, I think he can be a dominant, special player. And then the other guy who was drafted in the same round as him in the same draft is Javon Bullard, who I also think is going to have an opportunity to really elevate his game and be a field tilter if he is the player who I think he is.
I mean, you focused, you know, we talked about the defense there, Jason. Through OTA, did we learn anything more about Jonathan Gannon's defensive scheme? I know that was one of the biggest things, is that we felt like we hadn't heard from him because he didn't do a press conference until, was it May of this year?
Yeah, it was a long time.
Through OTAs, did you learn anything new about the defensive scheme, the defensive system that they're going to be, you know, implementing in the 2026 season?
Well, I did see Edgerrin Cooper on the edge, putting the edge in Edgerrin from time to time. You know, I think he's going to play a lot of base defense, obviously. They're a 3-4. So when they were in their base defense, they're going to play a lot of nickel defense, I should say. But when they were in their base defense, you know, the three down linemen with Devontae Wyatt not practicing were Javon Hargrave, and Carl Brooks were kind of the two big fellas. And then they kind of rotated through with a few different options at the other defensive end spot. But, you know, they feel like they've got some pretty good big guys. They gave Chris McClellan, their second-round pick, some work with the ones. But, look, this defense, the biggest thing this defense has to do is take the ball away. And they did it 2 years ago, and they did a terrible job of it last year. I mean, 14 takeaways, 7 interceptions, 7 fumble recoveries. That's just not going to cut it. They have to give their offense short fields. I mean, we saw what takeaways did for a Chicago Bears defense that otherwise statistically was not, you know, one of the best defenses in the league by any means. But when you get takeaways, it erases a lot of shortcomings, and it also gives you a better chance at winning close games, which is certainly something that the Bears did very well last season because of those takeaways.
Speaking with Jason Wilde, you can always hear Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch 9 a.m. to noon weekdays here on ESPN Wisconsin. Now, Jason, there was an article from ESPN that talked about they ranked the top 10 rosters, total rosters in the NFL, and the Green Bay Packers came in at number 10 for overall best roster. Do you think that's too high, too low, or just right?
Yeah, Goldilocks. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the other rosters. I would say this. I think they've got a lot of really good players. Do they have enough depth? And to me, and again, it's not my article. It's not my list. So, I'm in no way criticizing whoever made it. All I would say is that I do not know the other 31 rosters well enough to be able to speak to, oh, well, you know, the Packers have a good starting 22, for example, but I really don't like their depth. That's how I would view them. I'm guessing there's other teams that I would view similarly that, hey.
Well, then, Jason, with that then, do you think the Packers, because for me, when I see if the experts are saying that this is a top 10 roster, to me that means that you're a Super Bowl caliber team.
Well, at least there's one expert saying that, right? I don't know how many others are.
Well, when you look at it, do you think this Green Bay Packers team entering the season is a Super Bowl caliber roster?
I think they're certainly a Super Bowl contending roster. They're a roster that needs to stay healthy. I mean, again, I don't think their losses this offseason were crippling losses. You know, I think Romeo Doubs was an underrated player. I think they don't win the game in Detroit without Dontayvion Wicks having the kind of day that he had. So I'm not saying that they won't miss those guys. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know if Zaire Franklin is going to be an upgrade over Quay Walker or not. He's certainly older than Quay Walker. I guess what I'm saying is they're 9-3-1 going into Denver. They're playing without Tucker Kraft, but Christian Watson was coming on, obviously. You know, I look back to what they did against the Steelers. You know, the one game that they had both Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson both playing at the same time, you know, Jordan Love threw for 360 yards. Tucker Kraft had 7 for 143 and a couple touchdowns. Christian Watson had 4 for like 84. If that's a glimpse of what their offense can be, if those guys all stay healthy and then you have Tucker healthy all season, yeah, I think they have every right to believe they can be a Super Bowl team. Defensively, you know, whenever you get Micah Parsons back, then it's go time and you try to tread water until then. But, you know, I saw someone, I don't know who posted this, but somebody posted a video of Josh Jacobs' big run in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the person said something like, was I the only one who thought at this moment that the Packers were going to the Super Bowl? No. I mean, they were kicking the crap out of Denver in Denver. And Denver mm-hmm. ended up being the number one seed and probably, if Bo Nix doesn't mm-hmm. get hurt, is probably in the Super Bowl. So, you know, again, they have to – The thing that, and I know Tausch had told an anecdote about being at the Tellurian golf outing in the Dells, and Dorsey Levens was there. And Dorsey Levens played in 3 Super Bowls, 2 with the Packers and 1 with the Eagles, I believe. Or maybe it was with the Giants. He had a 3rd Super Bowl without the Packers. And he basically admonished the crowd that was there, you know, donating to a great cause and everything else, by saying, do people know how blank and hard it is to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? Like, so many things have to go right for you. It's not just we have the best roster. It's, you know, we talk about this with the schedule. It's not who you play. It's when you play them. Got to catch some breaks there. Certainly have to catch breaks with injury issues, yeah, both for your own team and maybe the team you're facing is missing a key piece the week you face them. So there's a lot of moving pieces. I think they've got a roster that's good enough for them to expect that they are going to contend for a trip to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to get there this year. I've said it before. I talked about this with you guys. I think they're probably still a year away, but they've got they've re-signed a bunch of guys to extensions. The money is not crippling with the contracts of Jordan Love or Micah Parsons this year or next year. It's really 2028 when that all comes home to roost. And so I think it's, you know, take a big step forward this year. Ideally, you know, if I'm speaking for Packers fans, not as one, you know, I'd like to see them win the division. I'd like to see them win a playoff game and then be in it late in a divisional round game. And if they win that game and reach the NFC Championship, awesome.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I still feel like it's a step forward.
Jason, they got to do something different for me. Like, they really do. And I think the biggest thing for me is I saw what the Patriots did and Seattle did last year, right? And, you know, you always say, you know, growth isn't linear, right? And we saw that because there's not – you saw Seattle, you saw 2 teams that didn't make the playoffs last year all of a sudden competing for Super Bowls. And so for me, is the Packers got to do something different. I can't. I've seen them in the divisional round before, right? I need to see this team accomplish something more. You got to get me something more. This roster to me, and you spoke on it. I think you hit it. Is that this roster was really talented. And despite not having Micah Parsons, despite not having Tucker Kraft, despite not having Zach Tom, you're talking about three guys that are probably, I would say, arguably for sure top 10 at their position. I would say Zach Tom's a top 10 right tackle, maybe top 10 tackle in the game of football. And you got Tucker Kraft, who's probably top 5 tight end, and Micah Parsons, top 3 pass rusher. They're all gone. Devontae Wyatt, probably your second best defensive lineman last year. They're all gone, and the team still was up and had a chance to take the lead against Chicago. So I think a lot of folks are looking at that Chicago game and allowing for that to be such a negative instead of thinking, well, boy, if the Packers get some of these guys back healthy next year, they're going to be a team to truly watch. I just feel like people are taking more of a glass half empty versus a glass half full perspective to this team and how they finished last year.
They still got to do it, though, Kyle, and you know that. And you're right. They certainly, you know, I don't think anybody – to your point about glass half full, I don't think anybody's sitting around going, giving them credit for being in the position they were in despite all those injuries. I mean, let's not forget, we talked about Edgerrin Cooper earlier. He was finally having a very impactful game in that playoff game, and he left in the third quarter. And I believe they were leading like 21-6 at the time of his injury, and then they gave up the 25 fourth quarter points. So you can't win without your best players. Certainly your hope would be that those guys stay healthy. You know, they're not going to all play all 17 games, but, certainly if you're luckier than you were last year with injuries, you've got a much better chance to obviously do something in the postseason.
Jason, thank you. Before we go, real quick one, Sean, Icorsi joined you guys on Wildy and Tausch this week as an alum of UW-Madison, right? You're a fan of UW-Madison because you're an alum, right?
I want the university to succeed. The football team's success or failure does not affect me at all. I covered them as a student. It's when I started to lose my fandom and be more of a reporter type. But look, there's a lot of people at that university that I care about. A lot of people that care deeply about that university that I care about.
Yeah.
I certainly am proud to be an alumnus. Whether their football team wins 5 games or 13 games, that doesn't really affect me. But I will say this. I was really impressed by Sean Eichhorst. But what I was most impressed by was, for as good as our conversation was with him, he said talk is cheap. And he knew that he was doing a lot of talking, but now it's time to get to work. And the fact that he's already met with these coaches, all the coaches, not just Luke Fickell, the fact that he's met with the top 25 donors, there was a great line from Mark Johnson, the women's hockey coach, to Mike Lucas of the Capital Times, talking about him being the shepherd and how all these sheep were like scattered about, and now he's bringing them all together. I didn't think that was breath of fresh air. But the fact that all these sheep, which would be the coaches, we're all kind of different places. I did not think that reflected well on Chris McIntosh. Mm. And if that's one of the many things that that Sean Eichhorst does better, then that's a good starting point.
Absolutely. Jason Wildy, again, you can hear him every single weekday on Wildy and Tausch, 9 to noon here on ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for joining the Homer Hour today, Jason.
All right, buddy. Take care. Be good.
Thank you. Thank you again. That was Jason joining the Yingling Legends line. Again, you can always, he joined us on the Yingling Legends lines. You always hear Jason. What days of the week? Is it just, it's 2 days a week, right?
I'm 3 days. Middle days.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You always hear Jason Wildy on the Yingling hotline here on the Homer Hour. We come back, we'll continue the conversation, talk about the Green Bay Packers and why I think that I feel like a lot of people are too down on the Green Bay Packers and don't realize just how impressive it was for them to be up the way they were in Chicago in that playoff game. We'll have that and more coming up next on the Homer Hour. I'm Kyle Wallace in for Homer here on the Homer Hour. It is the Homer Hour here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. I am not Homer. I think that's pretty evident based off of my voice. But I feel like I do a good Homer. Maybe, maybe not. I'm Kyle Wallace. in for Homer today, your cousin sub of the day. And you can chime in on today's conversation on the Carbo's Talking Text line at 800-990-3776. Again, the Talking Text line is 800-990-3776. Where list is more. You can also watch and stream us live on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a subscribe as well. I started the show talking about Homer, and listen, the Milwaukee will always be Giannis City. And Homer said, you can't say that this is your city if you leave. That's not true. Not true. Yeah, sometimes a little birdie's got to fly and come back to the nest. And I think Giannis will clearly come back to the nest because this is his city. And I think saying anything other than that, and saying that Giannis isn't being genuine in his comments of loving the city despite him leaving is crazy. It's crazy. People always want to explore things different sometimes, right? People leave their city. It doesn't mean they don't love their city. You know, folks always come back. When I went to grad school and college, I left the city of Milwaukee, but I still love the city of Milwaukee. I wanted to come back. I'm not Giannis. This is a lot more significant to the economy and to the team. But Giannis, this will always be his city. But again, 800-990-3776, that is the Carbo's Talking Text line. We had Jason Willey join us as well, talking about the Packers. I just get really confused because I saw an article from the Bleacher Report yesterday, and we talked about it on Colin Brust. You can go back and listen to Colin Brust on ESPN Milwaukee or on ESPN Wisconsin app. And somebody from the Bleacher Report had the Packers predicted to finish in fourth place in the NFC North. Fourth place in the NFC North, and I found that to be crazy, and I don't understand, and I don't get how folks can look at what the Packers did last year and look at the body of work of what Matt LaFleur has done year in and year out for this team as a coach during the regular season, and hell, even going to the NFC Championship game as well, and sit here and say that you think that this team is going to finish in last place in the division. How is it that you evaluate this roster that if you ask me, I don't think the Packers lost much this offseason. You say, okay, they at the receiver position, they lost Tay, Dontavian Wicks. They lost Romeo Dobbs. But guess what? That just opened up more opportunities for a wide receiver you got back in Christian Watson last year, who's going to start the season hopefully healthy this year. You got Jaden Reed, who's going to be hopefully healthy more than just week one and then coming on late. You're going to have Matthew Golden, which I say is the Golden Bugatti, who was a rookie last year, who showed glimpses of how good he can be. And in the playoff game, you saw what he did with the ball in his hand by catching the ball at the line of scrimmage and taking it for like 30 yards for a touchdown. You saw what the Green Bay Packers had. Guess what? The Green Bay Packers played half the year last year without a guy named Tucker Kraft, who is a top three tight end in the NFL, and some believe he's going to be the highest paid tight end in the NFL despite missing half the season and coming off an ACL injury. So what I don't understand is how a team that has that type of firepower on offense can be predicted to finish fourth place in the NFC North. It just doesn't make sense to me. And yes, I think the NFC North is still one of the best divisions in football. I think the Minnesota Vikings are probably going to win at least 7 games this next season, even though they don't know what they're going to do 100% at the quarterback position, probably going to be Kyler Murray. That's a team that won 9 games last year. I don't think the Bears are chop liver. I don't think they're trash. I think they're going to regress because of how tough their schedule is going to be, but they're not going to be a walk in the park. But I still think the Green Bay Packers are one of the better teams in the NFC this year. And how anybody can look at this roster and think that a roster that was 9-3-1 going into Denver and the way they performed in Denver before everything literally came crashing down. I was at that game. It came crashing down, y'all. It was Christian Watson falling on his shoulder. It was on the same play having Zach Tom go down with a knee injury, then having Michael Parsons tear his ACL. I mean, everything just completely fell apart. I just don't understand how when you get these guys back, how people can look at this team and not say, okay, they may not be the number one team for me to pick for a Super Bowl, but for damn it, they're definitely not going to be the fourth place team in the NFC North behind the Vikings. And then when I look at defensively, as people say, yeah, you lost Quay Walker. But I'm going to tell you this. Quay Walker was not a difference maker. He wasn't. He was a dude. He was a good player. He could make tackles. But he wasn't the leader that you needed wearing that green dot. We got a green dot guy now in Zaire Franklin, who's going to free up the absolute weapon that Edrin Cooper is. Y'all just watch. Edrin Cooper is going to be an absolute weapon on the field for the Packers. They're going to be better off. You brought in reinforcements for the defensive line. I get it. It may be a little rocky when you don't have Micah Parsons to start the season. So I get the apprehension with that. But Mike ain't going to be gone for all 17 games. So to sit here and think that the Packers are going to just be trash without Micah Parsons, especially with how it looks on paper, how light the start of the season is schedule-wise and the teams that you're playing, to think that this Packers team isn't going to be able to make noise and going to finish in fourth place is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. 800-990-3776, that is the Carbless talk and text line. And Stephen Smith said, because the Packers still have Matt LaFleur at coach, a consistently mediocre coach who can produce 7-seed teams with 9-7 records. See, this is the thing, Stephen, is we love to ignore the 13-3, 13-3, and 13-3. We love to ignore the fact that the Packers drafted Jordan Love because they thought maybe Aaron Rodgers was over the hill, and Aaron Rodgers showed everybody he wasn't over the hill yet. And with the combination of Matt LaFleur, was able to have MVP season. So I just am confused about how people look at this roster. Maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe it is the green and gold glasses that I wear. But there is no way in the world that you can look at this Packers roster and say that is the fourth best team in the NFC North. There is no way in the world that you look at how well they were playing last year and don't think that they're getting this same roster back with, I think, better fits for the roster, and don't think they can't replicate that. It's crazy to me. And it's downright disrespectful for somebody to pick our Green Bay Packers to be a damn fourth place team in the NFC North. I don't know the last time the Packers were fourth place in the NFC North. I don't. It's been a very long time. And I'm going to mark my words, this won't be the year. The Packers are more likely to win a Super Bowl to finish in fourth place in the NFC North. This is the Homer Hour here on ESPN Wisconsin. Now, when we, thank you. 2005 is the last time the Green Bay Packers finished in last place in the NFC North. And some bozo from the Bleacher Report is going to say this is the year after them making the playoffs last year, after them still having Michael Parsons, after them having guys who are going to get healthy, including Devontae Wyatt. Stop playing with me. But when we come back, I'm going to make a run. I'm going to make a run, C-Cat. We're going to finish up talking about the Brewers, but I got to make a run to the bar.
Oh, we're doing this.
We're doing it because C-Cat has never had an old-fashioned, and it's time for C-Cat to get an old-fashioned. This is Kyle. This is the Homer Hour. I'm Kyle Wallace. I'm in for Homer. We're going to wrap up next. It is the Homer Hour. I'm Kyle Wallace in for Homer today on the Homer Hour. And I guess, I don't know, is there something about this chair that makes you want to go on rants? Is that what it was? Is that what it is?
And I thought it was good. I thought it was well delivered.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Speaking of well delivered, so we talked about C-Cat. He's not from here. He's from New York, upstate New York, so he doesn't have an accent. I guess not. And he's never had he hasn't done a lot of Wisconsin things, and he's never had a brandy old fashioned. So what I did was I ran in a break. I spent my hard earned money to get you a brandy old fashioned, because we're going to make you a Wisconsinite. Wow. Yeah, you did a lot of Wisconsin stuff, but we got you a brandy old fashioned, a sweet. We're going to drink it after. I told you I got you.
Yeah, I can confirm Kyle is not lying. He didn't lie before. He's not lying now. We're going to drink it in 9, 8, 7.
I'm a man of my word. This has been a Homer Hour here on ESPN Wisconsin, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you later. Peace.